Welcome back, SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan with Mike Pradem, Scott Jackson. And of course, you can follow us on Twitter at SB Nation Radio, and also hit us up on Facebook. Like us, please, on the Facebook page for SB Nation Radio as well. Right now, our pleasure to talk some college sports. Steven Yonda from the Washington Post joins us here, and getting ready to talk some college bracketology. But first, I want to talk to Steven about the interesting topic we were talking about earlier, which is what's going on with Maryland. How are you doing today, Steven?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. Well, interesting thing this week, we've seen commercials running for Maryland basketball for tickets, which is certainly not the case just a few years ago. You couldn't get tickets to games, certainly not to ACC games at least. You get them early in the season perhaps. But Mike and I have been kicking this around. What has happened, not just with basketball, but also, you know, with football, when you think about where they were after winning the Orange Bowl, or going to the Orange Bowl, excuse me, winning the ACC, and to where everything is to now, you know, the national championship. And, you know, of all teams that have won a championship in the last 10 years, Maryland's probably gotten less out of it. What has happened with this athletic program where they were unable to seize those moments?
Well, there are a couple of factors, and the one that the athletic department likes to remind everyone of is that, you know, this is the economy has not been great, and certainly people are kind of being more mindful of their discretionary spending, and that's certainly true. But let's get more to the actual point, and that is that in the last, you know, however long back you want to go, the football team hasn't been great. They had a good season last year. But they have not been consistently great, and you know, there are plenty of other options in the D.C. area that, you know, people will, you know, go spend their money on if they're not going to go see a good product at Bird Stadium, and the same is true at Maryland. With the men's basketball program. Sure. You know, the last 2 years they made the NCAA tournament. They did better than probably people thought they would. Certainly that was the case in 2008-09. But things can continue on the course that they seem to be going this season for Maryland. It'll be four NIT appearances in 7 years. That's more NITs than it is NCAA tournament bursts, and I think that's not something that Maryland fans were accustomed to, especially under Gary Williams, who had a whole lot of success earlier in the decade, obviously going to consecutive Final Fours and winning a national title.
Now, with respect to basketball, when a lot of teams win the title, they get a recruiting bump and they become more of a destination for these top guys. That didn't really happen at Maryland. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, I think in part that's it didn't become a destination for those guys because I don't know how hard you know, or how much of a focus those types of players were for Gary Williams and his staff. I mean, uh-huh. He has made a name for himself by coaching up guys who were kind of under the radar, and that's to his credit. I mean, X's and O's wise, he's a brilliant coach, and I think that, you know, when you know that, I'm sure Gary knows that. You know, you probably think that you can kind of get away with not having to get in the hunt for the bigger name type recruits, because they're, you know, especially in today's recruiting, the way recruiting works today, that there's a lot that goes into recruiting the high name, top 20, top 50 recruits. That you know, it's a seedy world out there, and I don't know that Gary wants to get involved in that. You know, to his credit, and you know, on the court at least, to his detriment.
We're here with Steven Yonda, Washington Post college sports writer, with us here on SB Nation Radio. Scott Jackson, Mike Prater here on 106.7 The Fan. Yeah, that being said, you know, maybe he doesn't want to deal with it, but I mean, that's what you have assistants for, right? I mean, you have certain assistants that's kind of the seas they swim in, if you will, and then the head coach comes in and closes deals and sweet talks parents. In a lot of other situations, they do it. I mean, certainly, you know, we get it, Maryland's not Duke, but they have stayed out of the seedy part of it. So has North Carolina, yet they've gotten big-time players. And, again, they're the only other teams in the ACC that have won a national championship in the last decade. Is that not an unfair criticism of the program at this point?
I think it's a fair criticism of the program, but you know, the assistants can do all of the work that they want to do. At the end of the day, as you said, Gary's got to be willing to go in and close the deal. You know, and for some players, you know, maybe it's just not, it, you know, they're not Gary's type of players. Gary has a system that he runs, and that there are That system is not made for every player. Gary's coaching style is not made for every player. And more often than not, he will make players better during the course of their careers at Maryland. But you have to have the kind of players that want to get better. I mean, you look at the guys who have flourished in his program. You know, the last couple of years, you have Jordan Williams, Gravis Vasquez. These guys were not highly touted coming out of high school, but they were guys that wanted to learn and wanted to get better, and they did. You know, look at Eric Hayes and Landon Milbourne, guys that, you know, nobody thought much of coming out of high school, ended up being pretty good players. Now, the upside to that is that Gary's teams can overachieve. But in years like this, you know, sometimes talent just overcomes good coaching. And when you're going up against teams that have more talent, Gary can't outcoach everybody.
Going back to football for a second, Maryland this week promoted Todd Bradford to defensive coordinator. They were rumored to be in talks with Randy Shannon, with Larry Johnson up at Penn State. Why? What happened to kind of come to that decision? And I know there's a lot of fans that are disappointed. What's the reaction, I guess, kind of more on campus and more within the athletic department?
Well, I mean, if you're a Maryland fan, who would you get more excited about? Todd
right.
Bradford, Randy Shannon, if people know that name, Larry Johnson, and certainly people in this certain area know that name. Larry Johnson's a Maryland native, former high school coach, has had a whole bunch of success picking Maryland's pocket in terms of recruiting the last couple of years. So, you know, certainly they're not happy that Maryland couldn't get the guys that they were making efforts to get. You know, why didn't those deals work out? You know, a lot of that's speculation at this point, and I want to make that clear before I make my presumptions, because I don't pretend to know the inner workings of those discussions. But it would seem to me on the surface that if you're Randy Shannon, and you know, you're getting some buyout money from Miami, who just fired you a couple months ago. You know, if Maryland's not willing to come up with compensation, monetary and otherwise, that, you know, quote unquote, makes you whole based on the money that you're going to lose or stood to lose from the buyout money from Miami, then maybe it's not worth it to you. I mean, maybe you'd rather just, you know, kind of bide your time for the next year, make free money, if you will, and then, you know, get a coaching gig next year. If you're Larry Johnson, it could be a situation where you look at the state of the two programs and you think that Penn State's in a better position for you, and certainly in a better position to maybe have a higher degree of success in the near future. One of the reasons I read in a report from a paper up in Pennsylvania, he said, and this is kind of ironic considering how Maryland got in the situation in the first place, but Larry Johnson said, I couldn't in good conscience leave the recruits that I had just signed and promised that I would be here. And that's ironic because Don Brown, 2 days after signing day, left the recruits that he promised he would be there. So, it's certainly not an enviable situation for Maryland or Randy Edsall or even Kevin Anderson to be in, but that's the reality they face. And at the end of the day, let's be honest, they had to settle.
We're here with Steve Yonda, Washington Post College sports writer, with us here on SB Nation Radio 106.7 The Fan. Scott Jackson and Mike Prada with you. Well, you talked about Randy Shannon. It would have been a huge coup had they got him, whether it was money or whatever it was that kept him away. It would have been huge for recruiting because the guy was a very good recruiter. No matter what you think about him as a head coach, he could recruit. But what has it been with – is it as simple as saying Ralph Regan and Gary Williams just didn't get it done since the success of a decade ago to build on what they had achieved, you know, recruiting-wise? Or is there something inherently, you know, wrong at Maryland athletically that keeps players away, especially the guys in the backyard?
We're talking purely in terms of recruiting?
Yes, purely in terms of recruiting.
Well, you know, it's never – I don't mean to be evasive. It's never
okay.
One factor. So
right.
It's never just the head coach. It's never just the administration. But certainly there are factors in each. We discussed, kind of Gary's his preference not to kind of get involved in some of the seedier aspects of college basketball recruiting. In terms of football, Maryland's backyard, if you will, PG County and really the whole state of Maryland, it's got a lot of football talent. and it's had a lot of football talent for a long time. And other programs realized that a long time ago and made a concerted effort to, you know, kind of get their hooks into Maryland, the state of Maryland, if you will. And there was a period where the recruiters that Ralph assigned to Maryland, PG County, the hotbeds, they just weren't that good. But that's the truth. They just weren't that good. And that was the period after James Franklin left his first stint at Maryland. He left and went to the Packers and the K-State. And then he came back and made some progress once he came back. But you really, you have to have a top dog recruiter to compete with Penn State, Virginia now, who had a lot of success in Maryland this year, Iowa, who surprisingly had a lot of success in Maryland. Everybody else sends one of their best guys to Maryland, and for a while, before James Franklin came back, Maryland just wasn't doing that.
How much of it is, and we talked a little bit about this earlier, how much of it is stuff that's beyond anyone's control, i.e. the market is just such a big pro sports market, whereas like in Alabama and all these other big schools are very college-oriented?
Oh, I think absolutely that plays into it in terms of resources, in terms of, where people put their money, where they're willing to spend their money. I'm sure that Alabama can draw. I know 100% that Alabama can draw more money quicker than Maryland will ever be able to do, because in Tuscaloosa there's only so many places you can spend your money, and in Washington D.C. There's a whole lot of places you can spend your money. So absolutely, that's a factor. But if Maryland wants to be the top flight program that it is, you got to find a way to overcome that. It's not a new problem. It's one that they have bemoaned for a long time now, but it's not a new issue. And at some point, you just got to say, listen, this is our reality. We've got to figure this out. We've got to find a way to overcome it.
All right, Steve Yond is with us here, Washington Post College sports writer. Spent a lot of time on this Maryland stuff, but let's get into some bracket stuff. I mean, outside of an ACC run, is that the only way, an ACC tournament win, I should say, is that the only way Maryland gets into the tournament this year?
At this point, it's looking like it. They're 5-6.
Yeah,
I think maybe they could stand to lose one more regular season game. But if they do that, they better plan on making it to the ACC tournament final, if not winning the whole thing. Their margin for error is incredibly slim right now, and I don't see them being able to pull this one out of the hat.
All right, now Georgetown, what's the highest number you see the Hoyas?
In terms of seeding, you mean?
Yeah, seeding, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it depends on how the season finishes out. I think right now they're a 3, but yeah, they could, depending on how they do in the Big East tournament, they could get it as high as a 2. I don't know if they can quite get to a 1, but they can get as high as a 2.
If George Mason wins the CAA and is in first place in the regular season, how high can they go?
Now, that's an intriguing question, because it's not like... If Georgetown were to win this tournament, how high could they go? That's easier to predict. But because George Mason is a mid-major, and all that goes into saying someone is a mid-major, it's really a good question, because, even if they win the CAA, you're comparing him to maybe the second tier of the Big East, the St. John's, if you will. I don't know. I mean, a 5, a 6,
wow.
that one's a lot harder to predict.
5 would be incredible.
That would be great, quite, no doubt about it.
That would be quite an accomplishment.
I think, and my colleague Eric Priswell made this point the other day. I think if they win out and win their tournament, they will be in a better position to make a Final Four run than they were when they actually did it a few years back.
That's great.
That's
incredible. Hey, Steve, thank you so much. Steve Yonder, Washington Post. Great stuff here with us on SB Nation Radio. Appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, there is Steve Yonder with us here on SB Nation Radio. Coming up, Michael Katz talking Wizards with us from SB Nation DC. It's SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan.